5 weeks after the terrorist attacks on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center, donations continue to pour in for disaster relief. Some 180 philanthropic groups have raised over $1 billion. The large amount raises concerns about protecting against fraud and making sure the proceeds are distributed fairly. From member station WNYC in New York, Amy Ettings reports.
Within hours of the World Trade Center attacks, charities started mobilizing to accept donations. And within days, Mayor Rudolph Giuliani had to warn people about fraudulent fundraisers.
If anybody is doing that, and there is one telemarketing group that is doing this particularly from senior citizens, we would really like to catch them and make an example out of them.
Police say there's been at least one arrest, a woman who falsely claimed her husband was killed when the towers collapsed. But city officials and charities say they're more concerned right now with making sure money reaches the widest number of people affected by the tragedy. In New York City alone, more than 5,000 people are dead or missing. At least 110,000 people have lost their jobs, and 12,000 residents have been displaced. About 180 groups have lined up to offer everything from housing and unemployment benefits to mental health counseling and tuition assistance. Both Mayor Giuliani and State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer have offered to organize charities to make sure people are not ripped off and do not fall through the cracks.
It's a very fair concern for people who are giving, donating money that they've worked hard for to know that it's going to do something effective and get to the people who need it.
Ani Hurwitz is a senior consultant with the New York Community Trust, one of the two groups overseeing the September 11th fund. She says people should not worry. Many nonprofits have experience working together and managing resources. Still, State Attorney General Spitzer has created a database for charities that outlines who's doing what. He's also considering making a list of individuals who receive big grants.
That information would be held confidential, would be accessible to charities only, pursuant to certain rules, so that they could at least check to make sure that somebody who comes to them and says, look, I need money to cover my mortgage, I need $30,000, another charity would know that that individual had already received $30,000 and therefore they want to give their money to somebody else.
This list of individual grant recipients has some charities worried about confidentiality. At the American Red Cross office in Brooklyn, spokeswoman Nancy Rutherford explains the agency must get permission from clients before they can share personal information with anybody, even the state attorney general.
The most important thing for the Red Cross right now is that the people who come to us for assistance trust us. And if we breach that confidentiality, then there's a chance that they won't come to us for help.
Rutherford prefers the way Oklahoma City charities handled issues of overlap and unmet needs after the bombing there. A committee met once a week to discuss individual cases. So far, New York's charities have resisted such centralization, preferring to work informally and without help from public officials. Nancy Anthony, executive director of the Oklahoma City Community Foundation, thinks the enormity of the tragedy in New York makes it impossible to duplicate her city's process.
You know, sometimes you can bake a small cake in your kitchen and then somebody says, well, can you make a cake that's 50 feet across? You know, it's a lot easier for 12 or 15 agencies to begin to work together than it is for 150 or 200 agencies.
Some groups think all this scrutiny of private charities is understandable but curious. They say the millions of dollars of private contributions pale in comparison to the billions of dollars the city is poised to receive from Washington. For NPR News, I'm Amy Ettings in New York.